Chapter 1 tonight, Acts chapter 1. I apologize in advance for my voice this evening. Everyone I talk to is going through colds this season. Acts chapter 1. I want to say thank you for the opportunity to preach, and also thank you to all the teens that have done things so far. It's been a great night. All right, Acts chapter 1. Read just one verse here tonight, and we'll pray and get into the message. Verse 8. Very common verse that we know. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, give us tonight, God. Thank you for this opportunity that we have as young people to serve you in this manner tonight, God. I ask you to give me clarity of thought, God, and that more importantly, that you would be able to come through the message, and that it's not just a person's words, but that there's power behind them. God, give us a good rest night tonight, God. Be with the preaching that's to come. Thank you for what has already passed as well. In your name we pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about one of the major problems that approaches Baptist circles today. And a big reason why biblical Christian faith is failing is dying. As we all know, getting a good result from soul winning is increasingly harder and harder. People just don't want God. They just don't want him. And it seems like nothing's working to turn them. It takes so much work and effort to get so little. And that's not just in the unsaved circles, even in the saved circles. People are flittering their life away, doing things that aren't worth much, aren't worth eternal value. Instead of doing those things that are for God, they're going to last. They waste their lives on things that are just here and gone. And so I ask myself, why is this? Why is there not a desire for God? Why is it not there? And well, that's just it. People don't want God. People just don't want him. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. the only driving desire in people's hearts, in people's minds, people's lives, is pushing them away from God and not to him. So this brings us to the only way that a person is going to change is if their desire changes, and the only way that desire can change is through the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look into that tonight. Genesis 5:6 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now this is talking about the people in Noah's day, but if that doesn't describe today's people, I don't know what does. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" This just shows you right here, the natural man, the desires of a natural person, drive them away from God and not to him. And all of this to say that the only thing that a person does is what he wants to do. As the saying goes, a person does what he wants to do, and that's the end of it. When it comes to the end of the day, that's how it is. You may be forced to do something for a while because of a consequence if you don't, maybe, or a reward if you do. But after a while, after some time, it's going to happen. You'll do what you want to do. So the only way to make a lasting change in someone else's life or your own is to change your desire. Now, we can see the only way that this desire is going to change is through the Holy Spirit. And we need this Spirit in our lives in different areas. First of all, in the thinking of the analogy of the battlefield, of our life as a battle. On the offensive end of it, in our witness, in our outreach, in these things, we need the Spirit. In Matthew 26... the Bible says that the Spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is talking about prayer. This is speaking of prayer, but why do we pray? We pray before we go out soul winning. We pray maybe in the car before we got to go soul winning. When we have church soul winning, we pray here before we go out. And why do we do that? Because we need power. It's not us that can change people. It's not us that can change ourselves. It's only the Holy Spirit's power that can do it, and that's why we pray. And like it says there in Matthew 26, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The arm of the flesh will fail you. And we have all the tools that we need. We have the preparation here. We have classes here about preparing for ministry, preparing your lessons for Sunday schools. We have persuasion, maybe. We have classes in the college on teaching, on talking. You can have passion, you can have emotions, you can have all of these things. But the one thing that you'll lack is power. And that's the only thing, as I said, that's going to change anyone. No amount of preparation, persuasion, passion, any of these things is going to make a difference if you don't have the power behind it. On the defensive end of life, we need God's Spirit there as well. We know take on the whole armor of God. In Ephesians 6, we see there listed for us the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, shield of faith, the feet shod, preparation of the gospel of peace, the loins girt about with truth, and the sword that's the word of God. These things that we take on us, what is armor for? Well, it's to protect us from those wiles of the devil, those things that are attacking us, those things that are drawing us away from God. But I want to notice something if we go over there to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to notice something in the passage there. Something that I think that is not brought out as much in this there. If you go to verse 17, Ephesians 6, 17, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The sword, it is the word of God, but it's the sword of the Spirit. How does conviction come? Well, the conviction comes by the word of God. But through the word of God is how the Spirit works in people's lives. That's where conviction comes from. And that's how we have power. If we do not choose to give in to the Spirit, we will give in to the flesh. The Bible says man cannot serve two masters, and there are only two. You cannot serve both. You will serve the one or the other. If you don't choose the Spirit, you will choose the flesh, and you will serve them. There, verse 17 talks about the sword of the Spirit. This is where we get our power from. Now we come to the crucial question. I think it's easy to see the importance of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. I think it's easy to see that without that, you just have the flesh. You just have the power of the flesh, and as the Bible says, it's weak. So I think it's easy here to see the importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian, but the crucial question comes to how do we get that power? How are you going to obtain such a power? If we come to the point where we realize we need this power, we can't just have us, we can't make the differences that we want to see in ourselves or in others. If we know we need it, then how do we get it? Well, I think the answer is simple. It's through a relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's part of the Trinity. He is God. And if you follow Him, He will guide you. Now, through the relationship with God, how do we get a relationship with God? Next step, well, we know how to do this. It's prayer. It's Bible reading. It's getting into these things. It's church centers. The things that we know how to do, the simple, the basics. But sometimes are the hardest things to keep consistent in our lives. And through these things is how we build a relationship with God and how we can tap into that power that the Holy Spirit has. You know, I hear examples all the time, and I personally think of my grandfather. He's preached here many times, and also other men that have lived through the ministry. And they tell these stories of just incredible things about how God came through for them. And I can think of three or four or five right now that I know my grandfather has told me about how he was down to his last $5, or he was down very discouraged, or whatever it may be. And he trusted the Spirit, and the Spirit came through. God came through and provided for him in his time of need. And I sit back and I think, that's incredible. How do you get this? Because that's what I want in my life. That's what I want. I don't want to be a person that goes through life and serves in their ministry a little bit, or is maybe a layman in a church and comes and does their duty every Sunday, but doesn't see real power. I want to be someone that can see God change a soul. For all the young people here tonight, I've come to realize recently, and God's really been working on me, that a relationship with God and that power is absolutely vital to your spiritual life. When you come to the problems that are in life later on, whether it be with the church that you're in or financial problems or whatever the trial may be, the only thing that's going to get you through that is your relationship with God. And I've not really had any crazy trials. Those stories that they tell, I've not really had anything crazy like that. I have a great family here, a great church family here. I've been protected from many, many things. But I know the day will come when trials will be there. I only have one place to turn, that's back to the relationship I have with God and back to that Holy Spirit power that I can have. Without that spiritual power, without it, when the times get tough, when it gets hard, your desires of your heart won't be pulled in that direction towards God. It'll be pulled towards the world. That constant pull that's always there. And when the hard times come, you'll drift away. There is always that pull. That pull is there 24/7, every day, every week, every month, every year. Every time you wake up, there's that pull again towards the world. It's pulling and pulling, and you can't run from it. You can't hide from it. It's always going to be there. But you can find purpose and can find power through the Word of God and through His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today, God. Tonight, I know we didn't have much time. Thank you for the chance that we had to share this quick thought, God, about really the only thing that's going to keep us here in this Christian life, the only thing that's going to keep us moving forward, the only thing that's going to keep us on track through life, God. Lord, if we as young people could just grasp a hold of this thought of sticking by your word, sticking with the power that the Holy Spirit has to change lives through our witness, to change our own lives, Lord, through conviction. If we could just get a hold of this, Lord, it could change the next generation. And if we don't, then we'll drift away and the next generation will know not God. As you'd help us to realize this and that it could affect us and cause us to change this next year to be one that pursues a relationship with you so that the power can be known to us. Thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity, as you may have been able to make a difference. In your name we pray. Amen.